It's Weekend Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. For fans of a certain age, the 1986 Mets and their thrilling victory over the Red Sox in the World Series that year occupy a special place in New York sports history.
Got him!
Got him. That's Vin Scully calling the final strike in Game 7 of the World Series. The team hasn't been able to reach those heights since, but the players from that legendary team remain towering figures. And now, two of those players will have their numbers retired with ceremonies at Citi Field. Slugger Darryl Strawberry gets his big day later this season, and pitcher Dwight "Doc" Gooden's number, 16, will be retired in a special pregame event scheduled for this afternoon. Here to consider the moment is Nick Davis. He directed a documentary about the 1986 Mets called Once Upon a Time in Queens. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
For those of us who weren't around at that time, and even for those of us who were, can you describe that 1986 season and what that team was like?
Well, this season was indescribable, which is why I had to do a four-hour documentary about it. There really has never been a collection of athletes, I don't think, as entertaining and as talented as that team. They were so just wonderful to watch, and the legends about them were springing up daily, given their rather obvious off-the-field exploits, including four of them getting arrested at a nightclub fight at one point during the year. And they were just a rollicking band of sort of swaggering pirates. They seemed to take no prisoners, and they took absolute joy in stomping their opponents. And they embodied a spirit of New York City at that time, which was kind of coming back after the 70s, the malaise and you know, bankruptcy years, and Ford the City dropped dead and all that. And by the mid-80s, the city had its mojo back, and the Mets embodied that just almost to a ridiculous degree. They were full of wonderful personalities, and they played great baseball.
Now that he's getting this honor, how good was Dwight Gooden?
That's a great question. He was incredibly good. And when he first came into the major leagues, there had never been anybody like him. After a few starts, he just went on a roll. Then the following year, he was 24-4 with a 1.53 ERA. It struck out however many, 276 batters. There was just never a pitcher who was so electric. All of his games were practically sellouts, and the electricity at Shea Stadium when he was pitching on a Friday night was just unmatched. It was incredible. And I think there was something about him. He was almost too good. He was almost too superhuman. I think a lot of us forgot that he was actually just a human being. For myself, I always felt like I'm a huge fan of Dwight Gooden, but he doesn't really need me. Darryl Strawberry was so haunted and human and like failing all the time and apologizing for hitting into a double play or loafing after a fly ball that I felt like as a fan, Darryl needs me to be his fan. Doc was sort of above it all. It didn't seem to need us. Then, although he was very good in 86, he wasn't quite as good. It turned out later, we sort of know why. He had started using cocaine, but it wasn't until he really fell from grace when he was found having failed a drug test on April Fool's Day, 1987, that we realized, oh, wait a minute, he's actually not a superhuman. He's human. He's got foibles just like the rest of us. And I think that's what's great about the fact that his number is being honored today, is we can all go to him and cheer for Dwight Gooden, the human being, not Dr. K, the superstar.
Well, Doc Gooden and Darryl Strawberry are two players that seem destined to be remembered together. They were in their prime on that 1986 team. They both had issues with substance abuse and were arrested on domestic violence charges, among other issues. And they both later won World Series with the Yankees.
Yes, they were always sort of considered as part of a tandem, much in the way that Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford of the great Yankees teams of the 50s had been sort of considered a tandem. In truth, although they had many similarities, they weren't actually sort of the best buddies that we all thought they were or maybe wanted them to be. They were very different personalities, and so I think it did them both a little bit of a disservice to just lump them together all the time. They did come up a year apart. Darryl came up in 83 and won the Rookie of the Year. Dwight came up in 84 and won Rookie of the Year. Then in 85, Dwight Gooden had one of the greatest baseball seasons any pitcher has ever had. And in 86, they led the team to a championship.
And thinking about some of those controversies, how should we consider these men and their accomplishments?
Well, I'm not going to tell anyone how to worship or not worship their heroes. I think fans tend to forget that these guys are human beings. And there was a lot of backlash and anger at both of these guys during their careers. But they're survivors, and they're in their late 50s or early 60s now. And so I think that's the great thing about what Steve Cohen and the current Mets ownership is doing, is saying, let's honor these guys for what they did do and for the fact that they're still here and, you know, also still helping other people by being living examples of surviving some of the demons that they both fought during their early careers and lives.
What are you going to be thinking about when that Doc Gooden number is retired today and when Strawberry's number is retired in June?
I think it's about time, frankly. I think that these two players were so magnificent and did help lead the Mets to one of their only two world championships that they, along with Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter, whose number has not yet been retired, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time, I think that those four players deserve to have their numbers up at the top of Citi Field.
Well, the ceremony to retire Doc Gooden's number is scheduled to happen before today's Mets home game against the Kansas City Royals. Game time at Citi Field is 1:40 this afternoon. Nick Davis, director of Once Upon a Time in Queens, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
You'll find a man.